Welcome to Write Quick,
a bite-sized pop culture conversation with your favorite queer unfriendly Black hotties.
We're unfriendly today because it's low-key tough being a non-monogamous Black queer lesbian these days. I'm Nandi K, and we have a special guest, unfriendly Black hottie. Introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Jen M. Jackson, online Jen M. Jackson PhD, but really just D&D friend.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. We should. Okay. We're definitely going to have you back for an episode for on D&D, on Black D&D. So note that. But today we're actually talking about Black lesbians. It's Pride. We're doing gay shit all month. This is our second guest this month. And yeah, we're talking about being Black lesbians. It's Pride month. Have you done any Pride activities, boo?
So unfortunately, I feel like the ancestors and the universe have sat me down because every time I try to go outside, I can't go outside. So I have missed Pride so far. I'm trying to get outside soon. I'm trying my best, but we might have to do Pride in July.
Amen. You can do Pride anytime. Yeah, I feel like you posted recently about like, what are we doing because we're like old? And we talked about this on our last, on our like kickoff episode for Pride. It's like, I be tired. I don't want to be outside drinking all day. I need to sit down.
Yeah.
Like, I hurt my back standing up, twisting my hair the other day for too long. And I was dying. It took me all night to recover for standing up for 2 hours. But earlier this week, it's one of my friend's birthdays that I grew up with here in town. And actually, she's my cousin, but I only recently found out that she was my cousin. That's how it works when you live in a small town. Sometimes you find out people that you've been friends with for like your whole life actually are your cousin. Mm-hmm. But she had a birthday. It's her birthday this week, and so she's been having stuff all week. And so we had a Dream Girls karaoke concert on Monday night. And I brought a bunch of wigs for everyone. Everyone brought like their microphones. So people had microphones. I brought like a real microphone with like a dangling XLR cable. Some people had the headsets, and we just sung like Dream Girls, and it was a bunch of Black queer people. I literally didn't even know it was going to be like that. And it was so nice. And I was like, yeah, this is the kind of Pride I think I can see myself doing. Doesn't that sound nice?
That is so cute. I'm over here. I'm like, I never have FOMO, but that gave me a little bit of FOMO.
Yeah, it was really fun. Also, because me and my friend, we went to undergrad together, and we used to have Dream Girls concerts in our dorm rooms all the time. And it was like the first time we've been together in like almost 20 years, like 18 years.
I love that.
And I was like, this is nice. And this weekend, she's having like an outdoor camping thing at her, like her house outside.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
See, this is why I asked too, because for me, I don't do well with social interactions that are boring and meaningless and don't actually like amount to anything. Like small talk is just exhausting for me. So going out to a club or to a little cute party or whatever and just bumping up against people all night, I'll be overstimulated.
Yeah.
It'll be too many smells. I'm always looking for the food. Like, is there a taco truck? Like, what? Yeah. When do we leave for French fries? Like, I don't go to those parties properly. But if it's a cute little kickback, you know what I'm saying? Like, it is something where we can actually hear each other speaking. And
yeah.
I can remember your name and we can treat each other like human beings. I'm like, wow, what a novel concept. And
it was great.
Be centered around alcohol. That's the other thing.
Yes. Also, my friend is sober.
I love that.
So, yes, a couple of people brought wine. I brought a bottle of wine. I had a single glass of wine. I also can't drink like that again. Yeah. We're aging, honey. Mm-mm. The way that alcohol and my inflammation, that doesn't go together. Mm-mm. I have my lip. I can't even drink red wine no more. I'm basically allergic to red wine. And I used to love red wine.
Yeah.
So, like, it was, yeah, we were basically completely sober except for some smoking. And it was just the best. It was, I was like, yeah, I met a bunch of new people I didn't know. And I was like, yeah, I wanted to have something at my house this month, but now I have a bunch of family stuff coming up. Mm. But I might do something in July, like a game night or like another karaoke night, because I have way more space at my house. Speaking of sitting down.
Yeah.
Are you dating? Have the ancestors also sat you down from dating?
So, just like we're allergic to alcohol, I'm trying to think I'm allergic to dating. I don't know. These last few dates, Nandi. Wow, friend. Oh, my God. You know, just.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I used to watch those movies and they would be like, oh, look at all my dates. And they're always horrible. And somebody says something weird or like they try to smell your hair or, you know, I'm like, that's nuts. That doesn't really happen. Like, ain't nobody having no dates like that. And now, now in my 40s, child.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That was actual. That was art mimicking life. I did not realize that they could go both ways like that because life, my life has been mimicking that art and I'm concerned. So for me, I've decided that people are just really weird.
A lot of people are.
They're really weird.
It's kind of a bad time for people.
It's a bad time for peopling. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm like, you know what? Instead of explicitly trying to date, I am hanging out with my friends. I'm creating bookish communities. I'm going to cute little queer events. Mm-hmm. I'm, you know, making pottery. You know, I'm going to pool parties.
Come on, pottery.
Places, you know, where it was a little bit vetted and curated. Mm-hmm. And so it's not completely random off of a dating app, some rando. You know what I'm saying? It's a little more curated. And I can take my time to see if this is somebody who I even need to go on a date with. I can't be dating all willy-nilly no more. I got to be selective because people be weird.
Yeah. The world is just like a really strange and kind of scary place. So I understand why people are in a strange headspace. I wish they were a little more aware. I know all of us don't necessarily have access to the type of mental health care that we might need, or some of us might have worries about engaging in that care. But like, I am in EMDR therapy and have been for the past like 2 years, and before that we did somatic therapy. And I really value like being in touch with my body and knowing when my body feels like good in a place and bad. And that's why I've given up dating. Because I feel like the way that people in the world date is not at all how I'm interested. I'm not interested, one, in anyone I do not know.
Right.
So that's number one for me. Is I need to start getting to know you to even really start liking you.
Right.
And I've seen, even this week, I saw somebody on Threads being like, I don't believe the lesbian friends to lovers trope because I'm not even attracted to my friends. And I'm like, that's a lie.
You're weird.
If you weren't attracted to your friends, you would not be friends with them, guys. Right. There's all types of attraction.
But listen, though. That's true. A lot of people don't like their friends. That's the problem. See, you and I, this is something I've always liked about you and I've commented to other people about with you. You actually do a good job of selecting the people who you're going to be around. Like, you actually genuinely care about the people who are in your orbit. I have to be around other people who are like that because that's how I am.
Yeah,
but it's a lot of people don't care about that. They have shitty friends.
Yeah, it's a weird, I think too, like as a traumatized person and somebody who spent a lot of time accepting crumbs from people, now that I know I don't have to do that, I'm extra super, super careful. And I always say it takes 2 years to become friends with me. Because I need to like know you for a while. We need to have like maybe a difficult moment that we navigate. That's really important to me. And I feel like, and even with dating, it's the same approach where people, the first conflict is, oh, it's a wrap. I'm done with this person. Instead of let's figure out how we navigate conflict. And that's why I'm like, we can just be friends first. And then if we want our relationship to evolve into more, then that's great. And also, I'm kind of a relationship anarchist. So I don't care what we call it. If we want to fuck and we just want to also say we're friends, love that for us. It's up to us.
Yeah.
It's up to us.
I agree. And I'm also a relationship anarchist. It's kind of funny because I think a lot of people are, but they don't call it that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that, you know, those of us who can see, okay, this is my best friend. This is also, my best friends are my life partners. Like I don't do well with friend breakups. I've had a much harder time with friend breakups than I have with romantic breakups because I really love my friends, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for me, I married my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
So the friends to lovers pipeline is the safest one that has ever worked for me. This is the person I've been married to for 20 years. So I think what people don't understand is that, you know, people's ideas of friendship are so different. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have friends for particular reasons. People are very, you know, materialistic and they want to ride people's coattails, or they secretly don't like that person and they just spying on them and they wait until their moment to escape. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, people do weird stuff to even their friends.
Yep.
So I'm at the point now where I want to be your friend, but I also want to meet your friends. Like, I want to meet you before we're together. I want to know how you, I want to see if you talk about them behind their back when they walk away. You know what I'm saying? Like,
hey,
that matters to me.
Ooh. Oh my God.
They're not in the room.
I had a really traumatizing experience with that, with a group of people years ago. This was probably 10 years ago now, probably more. But it fucked with me so bad. It completely, like, first, I stopped eating with people that I did not know. Now, what that really was like social anxiety, kind of being like triggered by, because someone got up from the table. Soon as that person left, they started talking about him. I was like, oh my God.
Mm.
Now, fast forward, that person was evil. That person was evil. However, that doesn't mean that the experience that happened should, like, why are you eating with people? And also, that's so crazy, because that's like a thing in the Bible where you like don't break bread with people that you don't fuck with. And that's something that I also live by. Like, I don't like to like eat with you if I don't really know you that well. And please don't be like, I'm not necessarily like against talking behind your back if it's like a valid issue, you're expressing concern.
Sure.
Like, people, I don't worry about what's being said, quote unquote, behind my back.
Sure.
But if it's some backbiting, hating ass shit, and this also happens to people with their partners, unfortunately, even with lesbians.
That's right. Let's talk about it. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think there's, you know, we've all had friends where we've connected with other people to ask about them, how are they doing? And we might have to share some gossip just to keep them safe.
Yeah.
But then there's also that, this is my friend, but when she walks away, I'm going to tell people that she's a terrible mother.
Ugh.
Like, in her face, I tell her, oh, that was a great performance. That theater show you just did, wonderful. She walks away, I say, she's never going to make it. Like, why are you friends with somebody who you don't even actually like? These are actual examples from my ex, and she had a group of friends and they all talked about each other. And it made me so uncomfortable because every time those people were out of the room, it was everyone had all this nasty shit to say. And I'm like, wow, that's how I know when I walk out the room, y'all saying some terrible stuff about me. You know what I'm saying?
That's, I'm like, so nasty.
Y'all don't like each other. And this is why I think with a lot of, so people have been talking about lesbians on threads, you know, about, you know, I can't be friends with this and I can't be friends with that, and masks can't hang out with masks, and masks. There's all these rules that people feel like they have to follow around how they build community, and people are so wrapped up in the rules that they're not being vulnerable. They're not building any real intimacy. Everything is a performance.
Not building connection because you're not safe. And how could you? And I want to like bring in like neurodivergence because we're both ADHD. And I know it made me feel way, I felt so much relief because I used to be like, oh, there's something wrong with me. And then it was like, oh, there is. And I did feel like relief. It was like not wrong with me specifically. Yeah. Like there's something wrong with the way I like process information. But stuff like that, I kind of have, you know how we learn the things that we do learn through like mistakes, and then we take those and we're like, okay, this is how you should then behave in these situations. When I experience contradictory experiences like that, it fucks me up like bad. I'd be like, yo, like this is not the rule that I thought that y'all said. Like, I've been working hard to follow this rule so that y'all think I'm one of you. This isn't the rule.
Yeah.
Like, and then all these like fucking gender rules with lesbians. Transphobic mask of center people, which is wild. I definitely met a lesbian who I said I use they, them pronouns and that I was non-binary. And she was like trying to argue with me. I said, you're not a doctor or a geneticist, so let's both not go there. Like, neither one of us are qualified to start talking about science. She went online to talk shit about me, didn't know that we had a friend in common. Actually, the friend that you just sent me, it was like, who is this? That was the friend we had in common. They sent me a screenshot of the post. I said, well. And then they saw me another time and they was like, what's up? I was like, nothing. I was like, you don't want to deal with confused people, right?
Ooh.
Oh, then they was trying to apologize. I said, no, thank you. I'm good. You work at a construction site. You're not a medical person. But it's like dating that's also hard with lesbians where like, I don't know if you're going to be transphobic. That's a scary thing. Like.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, being in a 6'4" tall body and amen. Being androgynous and non-binary, you know, I like to play with gender a lot. Yeah. I wear gender like a costume. I think it's fun. So my makeup and my nails and my hairstyles all change based on, you know, the gender I'm experiencing in the moment. And so I've experienced it from, you know, like the mask of center folks and the very feminine folks as well. Like, one of my most transphobic partners was a very feminine, AKA, you know, she was African, right? And so she refused to call me by my chosen name. She would only call me my name at birth. And she would introduce me to people with that name, even though I don't use that name anywhere. She would never use they, them pronouns. She only used she, her. She would tell other people to use she, her, right? Like, it was this really subtle form of transphobia where she was just like, I'm not going to argue with you about your gender expression. I'm just going to rename you. I'm just going to rename you and reframe you to other people. And I'm going to do it before you are even in the room so that when you get there, they already have a misunderstanding. So if you disagree, it looks like you and not them, right? Oh, and God. Like, I've had, you know, that because in that relationship, I was the man. I was the masculine one. She was 5'3". I was 6'4". So it was like she wanted to lean into these gender roles.
Yikes.
But when I've dated mask of center folks, it's the exact opposite. And it's so confusing. Like the stud I dated who, when I hugged her feet came off the ground and she was mad at me. And I'm like,
pick me up. I'd be begging Sean to pick me up. I'm about it. As soon as we get out of here, I'm going to be like, Sean, you haven't picked me up in forever. They're going to be like, this again.
I mean, I'm like, why would you date somebody who you have a foot of height difference with if you need a man and you need to be strong and all these things? I'm like, you saw me.
Get stronger, bitch.
Like, but I think the other part of it is like, that's the only person who's ever said to me, even I dated men, and she is the only person who said that I have emasculated her. I've never had a man ever say that to me, but this woman tells me I'm emasculating her. And it was such a mind fuck for me because I was like, wait a minute. Like
the lesbian application, infamously the hardest one. Ugh. Like when you're a gay man, you low-key can't even put in any other applications if you've ever been gay. But a lesbian,
child.
Baby, that thing's under review for the duration. And this makes me want to just like really quick before we like wrap up, talk about like queerness versus like being gay, because this is a constant conversation on this podcast about the difference. Mm-hmm. I personally think we're way too willy-nilly assigning the title queer to people. Yeah. Just because you bump coochies or you are same gender loving or you're bi or any of those things does not automatically make you queer. Like queer, but, and you just wrote a Substack article on this, which was why I wanted to bring it up, because it's so important, especially in the examples you just gave about how even in queer, in quotes, I'm going to say queer in quotes, relationships, people want to recreate the same heteronormative cis heteronormative at that, not even just heteronormative, cis heteronormative things that I thought we're trying to get away from.
Yeah. See, that's the part I thought too, right? we be forgetting that we're ADHD. So we.
Silly of us for thinking.
Right. I think that's something I've contended with my whole life because of this body that I'm in. And at 12, at 6'4, you know, the boys wasn't really fucking with me. And if they were fucking with me, they didn't want nobody to know they was fucking with me. Right. And so that taught me early on about like the liminal space that queer bodies occupy. Mm-hmm. Right. And how it conditions desire and who gets to be seen as attractive. And, you know, when we think about sexual relationships, like what does it mean if somebody is the dominant person, but then they don't show up that way in the real world and all these questions. So I had to grapple with that at a very young age, knowing that I was attracted to folks of all different genders, but there was something about the folks that played with gender. It was always something about people who played with gender and who played with those norms that I found myself more drawn to, both romantically and platonically. Yeah. I think for a lot of people though, right? For a lot of Black lesbians, that's just not their lesbian journey, right? I am enamored. I love when people are like, yeah, I was like this in high school. I knew I was mask of sinner. I told my mom, I came out. It was no big deal. I'm like, that's incredible.
Wow. I love that. Yeah.
What a blessing. What a blessing. That's not how most of us get here. It's just not. That's not.
I was in the South, bitch. I was fucking with girls and had zero consciousness of the fact that I might actually be gay. Like these two things were completely like. Separate.
Same.
I came out 6 years after my first experience with a woman.
Yeah.
It took me that long to really like, mind you, all my friends have always been gay. I have been around gay people. I have friends that I've been friends with since I was 13 years old. Yes. They're gay.
Yes.
They're gay.
Same. Same. If like, you and I grew up together, we would be friends.
Yes.
I have the exact same experience. Yeah. I literally was sitting on the couch. I was like 35. Because even at 35, I was like, well, sure, I've had experiences with women and I'm attracted to women and I prefer to be with women. And
right? Yeah, exactly.
But I was sitting on the couch and I was watching this comedy special and they was like, oh, you know how I knew I was gay? I kept playing house with my best friend, and my best friend is a girl. And she starts talking about all of her experiences playing house. And I was like, hold on a motherfucking minute. And I look over at my partner and he's laughing, pew, right? Pew, pew, pew. He's laughing. And I was like, I said, Darren, am I gay? And he fell out. I was like, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
We love Darren, a Taurus.
Yeah, Darren's perfect. I was like, wait, is this gay? So then my ass, of course, because I'm a social scientist, I went to all my friends. I was like, hey, so how do you feel about titties? And they was like, I don't feel about titties. And I was like, what do you mean you don't feel about titties?
That's like, crazy.
I don't like them. And I was like, who doesn't like titties? They're like, Jen, I'm not gay. And I was
gay
like,
gay men like titties. That's wild. But I guess that does cover the gay part because even gay men like titties. Like,
yeah, but they gay.
Yeah, right? That's true.
I've really, it's taken me a long time, I think, because, you know, we be in our own heads.
We do.
And autism also, we don't really understand, right? Until people explain things to us. So I think the reason why all this data is coming out now about how a lot of autistic people are more likely to be queer, like the correlation is there. There's no causation, but there is a correlation. And I think that the reason why queerness aligns so well and polyamory aligns so well with autism is because we frequently just see the world for what it is, right? We don't see it with presupposition or, you know, through these lenses and rosy colored glasses. We just see the world for what it is. And folks be gay and folks be queer. And the ways that folks move through the world when they sit at these intersections, that sometimes is queer or queer adjacent, like the ways that we make choices to move against the status quo, to build alternative households and families, to rethink how capitalism enters our households and our bodies, right? That is the life of being queer. So for me, it's always been natural, but I always forget what's natural for me is just, that's just not how folks' minds work.
Yeah. And lesbians need to take this to heart. Okay. Because everybody has a different journey. We're not all gold stars. Some of us slept with hundreds of men before we figured it out. Okay. Some of us were just that's why it's called compulsory heterosexuality. Right. Okay. Like, that's why, because you're not even necessarily thinking about it until someone says, have you ever, you're like, wait a second. Well, I think this has been a riveting conversation. Shout out to Black queer Black lesbians everywhere. Shout out to Black lesbians everywhere. But if you're not queer, get queerer. Yeah. Like, let's queer it up. Let's free ourselves from mental slavery. You can be whoever you want to be. And that's what our ancestors wanted. You're going to let their sacrifice and hard work go to waste by living under these awful, awful rules that were never meant for us? Absolutely not.
No, thank you. It's also boring.
Yeah, it's extra boring. Queer up. What did the Spice Girls say? Spice up your life.
Wow, friend.
That's what it. Spice Girls, very gay. Very gay. Well, today's episode is sponsored by the Pride Demon. You know, the Pride Demon is on the loose all month, probably all summer. And as always, a big thanks to our audio producer, our producer and audio Adonis, Aaron Ram Freeman. Jen, tell the people where you want to be found.
I mean, I'm all over the internet. I probably should be in the house more, but I'm all over the internet for sure. At Jen M. Jackson, PhD. I have a Substack, jenmjacksonphd.substack.com. And it's called Love Notes. It's a weekly reflection series. I have a Black Feminist Book Club on there. And that's really where you can find all my musings.
Yes. And we'll include the link to Jen's article, The Problem with Queering Our Love Without Queering Our Lives, in the show notes. And I'm Nandi K. You can find me on Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky at Nandi K A Y Y Y. See y'all.
Right Quick is a podcast for The Agenda Productions, created by Nandi K and co-hosted by Vance Go. Aaron Rand Freeman is our mouthy producer. Theme music by Luke Santee. Art by Sonia Honeycutt. If you like what you heard, subscribe, rate, review, and follow us on Patreon at The Agenda Productions.